As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the prayer quilt that is hanging. We have two prayer quilts today, one at Whitmore Lake, one here. And even though you can't tie knots in both of them, please tie a knot in this one on your way out. Sign the card and say a prayer for both of them so that they know that we're wrapping them in love and in warmth of the quilt and our prayers. Now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. For all that you have given to us, we bless your holy name. You have created all things, and you are the ruler of everything that exists. We praise you. We offer you our lives in faithful service. Enable us to seek your will, lest we fail to realize what we can learn through your grace. By your greatness and strength, secure us. By your love and faithfulness, protect us. By your wisdom and power, direct us in all we do so that we may proclaim your wonderful works to all. Reveal your goodness to all who need your strength and love today. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them, to encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens, to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, to help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray this morning for our veterans, those that are still serving and away from friends and family, those that are still suffering from injuries suffered during their service, those that served to protect our country from outside sources. May they all find peace and rest from your care and grace. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we think we can handle it all on our own. Sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson is from Philippians chapter 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce. I started my career in public accounting in 1980. I was very young. I was energetic to a fault, and I had a lot to learn. And I look back at that time and all the different people that came in and out and guided me along. And one name that came up was Terry Kelly. Now, Terry Kelly was a partner at BDO Seidman, which is now known as BDO. And Terry did it right. He was ethical. He was above reproach. He was someone who always did it right. He did it right because, not because he was doing it right for our clients or doing it right for our business. He did it right because that's what you did. And the other thing that Terry did was he looked at those young people working with him and took them under his wing. He guided them. He taught us. Not just them, but I was part of that. I got a chance to experience it. And Terry had this ability to make me always feel welcome when I came in to talk to him. There wasn't that wall that he was my boss. Now, I did call him Mr. Kelly, because that's what you did in those days. But Terry, as I came to know him, was one of my mentors. And he saw what I could be and what others could be before we could even see it. And he helped us grow. He changed us. He turned us into better professionals. And we wanted to be like him. Now, I haven't seen Terry in years. He doesn't even know I'm mentioning his name this morning. But I give thanks that he was part of my life back then and helped shape me as I was early on in my career. Now, throughout this November, we're talking about legacies, those things that people leave behind for us, but not just the physical things, but the pieces that come into our lives and change us and mold us. Last week, we talked about those saints of the church, those who have died and gone on, who left a legacy for us. Next week, we're going to talk about the legacy that each of us is called to leave. And then we're going to close out the series at the end of November talking about what is the legacy of the church and what might that look like. But this morning, we want to spend time talking about those people who are with us, who impacted us in the past, impact us today, and will impact us in the future. Now, we can look at them as individuals, right? As a single person who may have impacted us personally. Or we can look at groups of people who came together for a cause, for a change. Now, we wonder, you know, how that might look and why do we do that? And Jim Rohn, who's a motivational speaker, put it this way. All good men and women must take responsibility to create legacies that will take the next generation to a level we could only imagine. Terry Kelly and people like him that left a legacy for those who came later in the public accounting world could not have imagined what it would look like. But they were called to take us to that next level. And there are groups that we're still living out their legacy today who took that seriously. For 100 years, the suffrage movement was active here in America with the goal of getting women the right to vote nationally. How many knew that women couldn't vote at one point in time? Yeah. Shocking, I know. A group of people came together, and it wasn't just one generation. It was generation after generation striving to get the change made. Now, there were local communities and states that had made the change, but it wasn't until 1920 that women earned the right to vote. And it was because people like this, Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Lucy Stone, they were tireless. They led, and others gathered around them and said, "This needs to change." And in 1920, women were granted the right to vote. Now, for those of you who understand celebrations, next year will be the centennial celebration of the women's right to vote. So as we take part in elections next year, remember that and celebrate that, because the legacy they left continues on today and will continue to impact us for generations. They didn't just do it for a point in time. Another group that came together based on recent events, we had a strike across this nation. Wasn't the first one. Well, back in before strikes were taking place, people were working 10 to 12 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. That was their life. And in 1936, a group of people said, enough. We need to change this, and we're going to sit down. And production ground to a halt. In 1936 and 1937, strikes went on around the nation until a law change was made that reflected the changes in technology. The expectations people should have of workers is that if you work more than 8 hours in a day, you should earn overtime. The 40-hour work week came into being. And when you look at that, it was because in a day there's 24 hours, and an 8-hour work day meant you worked 8 hours. You had leisure or personal time for 8 hours, and then you were able to rest for 8 hours and recover. And so in 1937, the law was changed, and the Fair Labor Standards Act came into being. Now, it looks a lot different today because of all the devices we have now, right? For a lot of us, that 8-hour workday has now stretched into always workday because we can't get away from it. But that's the technology changes that no one could anticipate. But the changes that were made in 1937 impacted this society as a whole. And when we look around at other legacies that impact us, we can look right here in this church and see how we're impacted by the legacies that people have left for us. Now, I have the honor, the privilege, the joy of working with a group of men, of chatting with them. Yeah, they would tell you I don't work the way they do. They're men with tools. They meet Tuesday mornings, and they go about this church and all our other properties doing work that you don't even see, but you notice it, let me tell you. Because if the pews are rocking, they have to fix them. And they take time and do that. But before they go about their work, we spend time in conversation. And I learn something every week from these gentlemen. And so this last week, as we were chatting, knowing that it was Veterans Day coming up and looking at legacies, I asked them to share about their time in military, those who had served for their country. And we wound up focusing on boot camp and their drill instructor. And I'll tell you, the drill instructors had an impact on them. Now, if you were to ask them, they may not use the word legacy to describe the impact that the drill instructors had on them. You know, but what was fascinating when I asked them, well, describe it a little bit, and they said, well, they were teachers. They wanted us to understand what it was we needed to learn. There were also other words they used to describe them that I will not share this morning. But their role was to get them ready, to prepare them for what was coming next. And they said they grew up quickly. They were forced to. They learned to care about those people right next to them because they were serving together, protecting us and protecting each other. And they knew by the time they were done what their responsibilities were. And they were changed. And so I said, all right, I get it. That makes sense. That's from a military perspective. What about from a faith perspective? How would we make the same analogy? And I wish I could remember who said it, but they go, the Holy Spirit is our drill instructor, training us, teaching us, guiding us through other people that are part of our lives. If you were involved in confirmation at any time in your life when you were younger, your confirmation mentor was your drill instructor. I think you may view them a little bit differently than a military drill instructor, but they were guiding you, training you, showing you the way. And if you did not get a chance to take confirmation when you were younger and you want to experience that learning, our new member class offers that same guidance, that same training, that same legacy that can be passed down. We live out this legacy because of people like the men with tools who are guiding us, changing us, making us better disciples. Now, when Paul, a man of faith, wrote the letter that you heard part of this morning to the church in Philippi, he was in prison in Rome, if you didn't know that. Paul was imprisoned and he was facing a possible death sentence. And yet, when you listen to that letter, he starts off with joy and he starts off with hope. And you wonder, how is that even possible? How could he do that? And what Paul's letter to the Philippians points out to us is he's explaining that I am joyful because of you, because I know that you're continuing on the legacy that I helped establish. But it's not just me. He knew, he was actually convinced that he would remain with them and he will continue with all of you. Even if he is killed, he knows that he will continue on because that church will continue on the legacy that he had established with them. And Paul says this, if you listen to this morning's scripture, go back and look it up. He talks about the struggle he has. Because if he dies, he's good. He gets to be with Christ. And yet he knows that he needs to live as well, because it is here on earth that he is having an impact with other disciples of the church, changing it, spreading the word. Last week, Pastor Sherry and I talked about how 150 years ago they described it that way in the Anglican Church. So it's interesting that short while ago they echoed what Paul was telling us, that if you're still here, you're part of the church militant, you're continuing to strive forward, you're continuing to help make disciples, to spread the word, the gospel of love. And if you've passed and you've gone to be with Christ, and if you've died, you're part of the church triumphant. And what Paul said was, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, Paul knew that being with Christ is where he was and was going to be. He also knew that he was first called to be part of this world, spreading the word. Now, you may not have known this, but the church in Philippi was Paul's first church plant. That was his starting point. And that's why when he wrote to them out of love, he was explaining them that preach Christ is what we're called to do. Proclaim the good news of salvation to everyone. We're all called to do that. And even though we wind up dying, we're dying to Christ and being part of that. What he knew was that by being in this world, it was for all. Dying and going to Christ is for one, it was for me. And because of Jesus' all-consuming love, we're called to set ourselves aside and focus on others. We are called to be children of Christ. The Message puts it this way on why prison couldn't contain Paul. Listen to these words. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life. See, Paul understood that we're called to live a life spreading the good news of Christ. And he wanted to continue to do that through his word, through his deeds, through his actions. Now, Paul's legacy to that church in Philippi is echoed in this morning's singing we heard, the third verse of All the Saints. It puts it this way. Oh, may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. See, Paul knew he wasn't the only soldier of faith. He wasn't the only faithful, true, bold disciple. He knew that the legacy that he had handed down would continue, and he knew that those saints would continue to fight as we continue to fight and grow today. And when we look at those people around us who impact the world and who have left a legacy and continue to do so, I joined this church in 1980 when I married into it. And I look around this room and I walk the halls here. There are so many different people that I can point to and say, you've left a legacy. You've made a difference. And one that came to mind on this Veterans Sunday was Dr. Vern Hoschel. Now, some of you may know Dr. Vern, some of you may not. Well, Dr. Vern Hoschel is a surgeon, and he was drafted into service during Vietnam. He left Agnes, his wife, and three young children at home, and he went off to serve his country. He saw things that many of us can only imagine, and he lived through that and came home. And when he came back, he continued in surgery. He didn't just operate, though. He became a teacher. Whether it was a resident, someone just needing guidance, someone who was just starting out, he was there to instruct them and guide them. And when I look at the skills, the medical skills that Vern shared, it didn't stop with him. It was multiplied over and over with all the different people who were impacted by him. And I just wonder about the countless lives that have been saved because of Dr. Vern and those other surgeons that were part of his team over the years. Now, that's from a professional standpoint. Vern brings that same passion to church with him every Sunday. He taught Sunday school. In fact, he still continues to teach Sunday school. After a 56-year career at St. Joe's, he's teaching a Wesley Sermon Sunday School class. Now, you can't teach a Wesley Sermon Sunday School class unless you know a lot about John Wesley, and Vern does. If you want to learn about John Wesley, go talk to Vern Hoschel. In fact, he can dress up and act as him, and you may have seen that over the years, and he lives the part. He knows more about Methodism than I ever imagine I will. And he has been a mentor to many in this room, to me. He's been a guide. He's been a teacher. He is someone who is leaving a legacy to this day that we continue to live out. See, we're called to continue our training. Vern hasn't stopped, and we shouldn't stop. We should be doing that every single day, learning more, understanding more, looking around us, seeing what's there. And there's countless among us who have left legacies. I look over at the Vena Dental Clinic. If that had stopped when Dr. Harry Davis died, what a tragedy. But it doesn't. Vena keeps moving and offering low-cost dental care to people in this county and now people in Washtenaw County as well who are connected to our church. And it's because dentists, hygienists, technicians, people working the front desk continue to live out that legacy because they are not willing to let it stop. The legacy continues on beyond our initial lifetime. And as we look at those saints who have been with us, those faithful, true, bold saints, we also realize this. It isn't always easy, is it? We face challenges. We face struggles. We can still be people who are leaving a legacy, but it can be hard sometimes. And yet Paul in his letter recognizes this, and he actually starts off the section of the scripture you heard this morning with, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He's in prison, facing a possible death sentence, and he's rejoicing. How many of us can take that same kind of attitude, that same kind of approach, that when we're faced with those challenges, because of those around us, we can rejoice, we can celebrate, we can have hope for the future and for today. And as we continue forward, the changes we make, the impact we have, we don't know what it's going to be long term. What I have learned is that we're formed, each of us, day by day, step by step, moment by moment, as disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're called to come together and spread that word. And it can happen in so many different ways. It can be a person who's the chair of the administrative board. It can be someone who plays music. It can be someone who is a liturgist. It can be a pastor. It can be someone working the tech board. All of these different ways that people can serve, it can be almost anything. And the legacy we leave behind follows that. See, we're called to live out that legacy, aren't we? We're called to leave something behind more than us, and we're called to recognize those people who are faithful, true, and bold, and that are striving for Christ in this world. And so this week, I want you to take a moment to look around and recognize those people who have left a legacy in you, and let them know, honor them, tell them about it. And it can be as simple as turning to someone right near you this morning. It can be simple as going home and looking in the mirror, because each of you is leaving a legacy. Honor that, celebrate that, and as you face those struggles, take Paul's approach. Face it with joy and hope. You impact the world. People who came before us and who are still with us are impacting this world. We are called to leave a legacy. Amen.